Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee tomorrow night. The Nashville Predators are on the clock with the fifth pick. They're also on the clock at 23, which I believe is a product of the Tanner Jeannot trade. And they are on the clock at 26, which is a product of the Yaroslav Askarov trade. So the Predators will have three picks tomorrow night. And again, that fifth pick is kind of the crown jewel of what has been 2 years of kind of mining out the draft and trading for prospects and things like that. And this will be whomever they take, whether it's Martone, Hagans, Denoyer, Frondell, Martin, O'Brien, that will be their number one prospect. But there's one thing I can't get over, which is the insistence that Barry Trotz has on trying to win in 2026. And the fact that he said, hey, I want to bring the joy back in Smashville. I want to get this train back on the train tracks. And that's fine. Now, I've told you, if you want to run it back with a core of Forsberg, Yossi, Marchessault, Brady Shea, Steven Stamkos, and UC Soros, then maybe you should change the coach just to get a different set of eyeballs in there. But fine, they're not. I feel like they did hire their interim coach in waiting the other day, Luke Richardson, the former head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, who has ties to Barry Trotz but does not have ties to Andrew Burnett. So at least there's one eye towards the future of, hey, if I'm wrong on the Burnett front, then I can move out and move into somebody else. But I say all of this because we've been talking a lot of draft. And if the team's going to compete for the cup in the next 10 years, the draft is going to be where they decide that. But if they are insistent on winning this upcoming season, then I think they need to take a look at the roster, and there's probably three things they really need. Forget about the fact that there are players that are on the team that drive us all crazy, like Cole Smith and Michael McCarron, and there's going to be young guys in there who maybe they're good, maybe they're not, Fedor Svechkov, Zachary Leroux, Luke Evangelista, etc. I put together the lines today. I do this from time to time, just kind of scribbling it out. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, that's one line. Stamkos, 2C. So we'll leave that open. Stamkos, TBD, Bunting on the second line, although depending upon who that second center is, that could end up being the first line. Hala, Svechkov, and Evangelista on the third line, because Evangelista has to play somewhere. And then Sissons, McCarron, and LaRue on that fourth line. And Cole Smith, he'll be in the lineup plenty, trust me. It's okay, we'll have to watch Cole Smith play for another season. So those are the forwards they have as of right now. And then on defense, on the left side, Yossi. Now the Potts diagnosis, I mean, we're going to have to talk about. But Yossi, left shot. Brady Shea, second pair, left shot. Jeremy Lauzon, who played on the second pair 2 years ago with Carrier, but he's probably better suited for the third pair. He's also a left shot. Which means that the Predators need three right shot defensemen unless they want a left shot defenseman playing the right side, which I'm not the biggest fan of in the world. So I'm fine with penning in Tanner Mullendyke is one of those defensemen. So this is where it really complicates things about this, again, lack of picking a lane. They'll call it threading the needle. I'll call it a lack of direction. If you want to win now, then the Predators should be scouring the market, looking for a right shot defenseman whom they'll have to give a massive contract to, but they can stick right up there on the first pair with Roman Yossi or Brady Shea. For instance, the Calgary Flames are looking to trade Rasmus Anderson. He's not a big point producer. He's not an offensive defenseman, but he is a first pair penalty killing right shot defenseman. He will at least cost you the 26th pick in the draft. He will also cost you an 8-year contract that will kick in next season, probably at about $9 million a year. He's also going to want a no-movement clause, And again, he'll kind of have you over the barrel, because if you're trading a first-round pick for him, what, are you going to play him for a year and then let him leave? That doesn't make a lot of sense. There's Noah Dobson, as far as the New York Islanders are concerned. Now, New York has not decided what they're going to do with Dobson, who's a restricted free agent. But again, with him, you're probably looking at an 8-year contract at somewhere around $8.5-$9 million a year. And with Dobson, his deal kicks in today. So you've got to factor in the $8 million, $9 million in cap space that you'd have to give him, whereas with with Rasmus Anderson, he's got a year left, so his deal would kick in next year. The Predators have $14 million in cap space, so it is doable. But after adding Eric Hall, are you really going to bite the bullet and take out $9 million of your $14 million to spend? And that's for one right shot defenseman. They need two. Then there's the second line center. Let's say the Predators trade for Rasmus Anderson, and they deal the 26th overall pick to get him, and they give him an 8-year, $9 million a year contract. Well, now you are kind of locking things up down the road as far as these big contracts are concerned, because Saros is there for 8 more years. Anderson would be there for 9 more years. Josi would be there for a handful more years. Forsberg, I think, is in the third year of an 8-year deal. He'd be there for 5 more years. You really are limiting your options if you do that. And I don't think they want to. But you've got to get a second-line center to play with Steven Stamkos. And if you're trying to win now, you need to go get somebody good. You can't do what you did last year, which was, well, let's see if Tommy Novak can do this. So if you're trying to win next year, do you go out and make John Tavares a massive offer to play next to Stamkos? He's the top center on the market, but he's old, and I don't think Toronto wants him back. He would fit in perfectly with your pawpaws, but do you pick up the phone, call him, and offer him 4x8? So now I've just added Rasmus Anderson. I've given up a first-round pick to do it when I could draft the next Rasmus Anderson with the 26th pick, but he wouldn't be ready to play that right side for about another couple of years. And I'm signing John Tavares for 4 years. I just added to next year's salary, I just added $17 million. And I've done that now for the next 4 years, because Tavares would be a 4-year deal, and you have to give Tavares a full no move. So we all know the Predators aren't going to do that. We all know that the Predators are not going to go give John Tavares the kind of contract that they gave Steven Stamkos last year. The, hey, your home doesn't want you back, we want you. They're not going to do that again. I don't think they're going to go make a trade for Rasmus Anderson and give him a massive contract, so now they'd have three massive contracts on the blue line. They'll make the argument that they don't want to do this because they don't want to block young players from being able to come up and take those spots. For instance, on defense, Tanner Mullendijk is their number one prospect. He is a left-shot defenseman. But they traded last year for Andrew Gibson, who is their second-best prospect, who was Mullendijk's partner for Team Canada at the World Juniors this past year, and he is a right-shot defenseman. They'll look at that trade and the signing of Rasmus Anderson, for instance, and they will say, well, we don't want to do this because we don't want to block a spot for Andrew Gibson. So now are you thinking about winning next year, or are you thinking about down the road? So this is what this is going to end up happening. And again, nobody gets in trouble for something that they haven't done yet, but this is what it looks like is going to happen. The Predators aren't going to acquire a second-line NHL center. They're going to try Fedor Svechkov in that spot. He had 17 points last year. And if he doesn't work out, they're going to try Erik Haula in that spot. He had something like 21 points last year. Is that really good enough if you're trying to win next year? Maybe they'll have interest in Noah Dobson. But it's probably more likely that they'll sign one guy in free agency a Cody Ceci to a two-year, $4.5 million contract to stick on the right side. But at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Justin Barron, who last year they traded Alexander Carrier for in what was essentially a salary dump. Carrier was a fine second pair right shot defenseman, but they traded for Justin Barron, who was a former first round pick, and he sucks. Again, why not just keep Fabbro if you're going to do that? But this is where, again, I tell you, you got to pick a lane. If you want to win next year, you have to get another center, and you have to get two right shot defensemen. I can live with Justin Barron or Andrew Gibson or Spencer Stastny or somebody like that playing the right side on the third pair with Jeremy Lazan next year, with the hope that eventually you'll trade Jeremy Lazan and then you can put Tanner Mullendike on the left side. Or maybe you put Mullendike on the right side, and I'm fine with that too. But again, the Predators need a second line center. They need it. They need two right shot defensemen. Barry Trotz mentioned that maybe Yossi moves over to the right side. I talked to somebody today who I'm telling you would know, who said, if I was calling the shots, I think I'd rather have Yossi on the left side. So what do you want to do? If you're trying to win next year, you need a second line center and two right shot defensemen. And even then, I'm still a little skeptical about your chances. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of those right shot defense options, there was something Elliot Friedman said today on the Midday Show. We'll hit on that next. Stillman and Company, and of course your phones, 1025 and 1063 the game. And this week's Nashville's best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. You did a great job in the press conference. The question was asked about, are you going to fix the defense internally or externally? And you did a great job of not answering that question. I was very proud of you.
Yeah, well.
But I got to know, like, is it really going to be, you know, Yossi and Justin Barron? Because I think Barron played better last year, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think he will. I got to give the young man a chance. I think getting a getting Lazan and maybe Yossi moving over to the right would be a possibility that we're looking at, and then finding a partner for Shea is sort of the goal. Get another right D. The whole league's looking for a right D. I moved some right D last year, but we also have some internal things that the Willsbys of the world, and you don't want to hear that, but. I think if we can just tweak one more right side D, then we'll be in good shape.
Okay, so he just wants to tweak one more right side defenseman. I don't know about that one. I think you need two. Again, I love Trotz being like, just give Justin Barron a chance. I did. It was called last year. He sucks. He sucks. Whoever that Auckland is or whatever, number eight, he sucks. I mean, some of these guys they put out there at the end of the year, and I get it. They kind of tore down their team to a certain extent. They traded away Luke Shen. They traded away Carrier. They got rid of Fabbro. They did all those things. So you're going to stick some Scarbinis out there. Yossi was hurt. Lazan was hurt. And so Willsby was hurt. And so you're going to put some bums out there. But Barron, of all the crappy players they've had, he was at the top of my list last year. He stinks. So the Athletic has a trade board that's out there, which I actually find to be very useful, especially for people like me. And what I mean by that is, I mean people like me who, again, I watch the Predators. I don't watch all the minutiae. I'm not watching the NHL Game of the Week on TNT. And so with the Athletic's trade board, it tells me, okay, who's actually available, and are these guys any good? And who's good and who's not, and things of that magnitude. So the number one guy on the list, as far as the Athletics trade board is concerned, is Rasmus Anderson, who has 1 year left at 4.55, and Anderson has said he kind of wants out of Calgary. He's a year away from being a UFA, and he's a right-shot defenseman. So he's a good, right pair right shot defensemen. Then after that, there's really not a lot of intriguing names until you get to Noah Dobson. And Noah Dobson, I didn't know who this is, and you know how I feel about, you know, guys that I don't know who they are? Noah Dobson is number 19 on the trade board. According to The Athletic, Noah Dobson may be one of the most intriguing names on the list. The best way to add a top pair right shot defenseman is through the draft, and even after landing a player with that upside, a team is still going to develop the player to reach their ceiling. The Islanders got a glimpse of what a game-breaker Dobson could be from the blue line in 23 and 24. He scored 70 points in 79 games, which ranked 7th amongst defensemen, despite the team having a relatively mediocre power play, and the substance was there below the surface to back it up. However, that's not exactly what happened last year. The market value, according to The Athletic, for Noah Dobson is $11.8 million. They expect him to sign a $10 million contract. So, if you want Rasmus Anderson or you want Noah Dobson, it's going to be $10.1 million in order to get that. And you know how the Predators are, though. Well, we can't give away more money than Yossi. The contract they expect for Rasmus Anderson, $8.2 million starting next year. Here's what Elliot Friedman said on the Midday Show when they asked him about Noah Dobson.
Is Dobson the kind of guy that, it just seems like there's a lot of reasons I could list of, hey, that actually could work with the Predators. Is that worth exploring? Where do you think the Dobson thing is heading, and is it connected a lot to the Evan Bouchard situation?
Yes, it kind of is. Like, first of all, he's a right-hand shot defenseman. Those are really hard to find. He had 70 points a couple years ago. That's really impressive. He didn't have a great year this year, but neither did the Islanders, and he's 25. Like, those are guys that teams don't like to give up from time to time. Willie, one of the things that's going on in the league right now is that the salary cap has really jumped, and everybody is trying to figure out what this all means. And the agents, and that's their job, because of the salary cap jump, they are looking for big jumps. I think that Dobson, who's a year away from unrestricted free agency, is asking for about $10 million a year. I just think the Islanders, like, when if you're a 70-point defenseman in this league, particularly a right-hand shot, you're going to get that. However, he hasn't done it consistently. And I think the Islanders are not convinced that they want to be the team to pay that. But it's when everybody knows that you're in this situation, it's really hard to make a deal sometimes. I think the player has absolute value. I could totally see a team like the Predators being interested. But number one, you know that that's what the player is asking for. How do you feel about offering that salary? And number two, what's the acquisition cost? Like, it's going to be a big cost.
Okay. So we're talking about $10 million a year starting this year. And he says it's a big cost. It's probably going to cost you, if I had to guess, the 26th pick and maybe a little bit more. So do you do it? And again, if you're trying to win right now, then I guess you probably do it. If you're not, phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Colin has been waiting and is up next here on our program. Colin, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Jared, thank you for taking my call. The next time you talk to Bear, you should ask him what he means by being a winning team again. Does he mean winning the Stanley Cup? Because if you watch any of the Stanley Cup final, and I know you did, you've got to be out of your mind if you think the Predators can go toe-to-toe in a seven-game series with either of those teams. But if he means that it's a first-round exit, a second-round exit, then I'll kindly pass and get out of that mushy middle that 2 summers ago he preached about getting out of. And now it seems like he wants to get back in. Thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
I think that for some reason, it's as if the Predators believe that having a year like they had 2 years ago where they weren't very good, but then they got their crap together and they were fun. I mean, it was fun. It was fun the end of February, the beginning of March. That was fun. And then getting to the playoffs, that was fun. Even though they lost, it was a competitive series. It was fun. I think they're convinced that fun, that to me, that was more of a surprise fun than it was a, yes, you know, here we are, we've arrived, fun. But I think they're convinced that that fun is worth chasing after. And I'll take that if I know that greener pastures are ahead because they draft some superstar and they've got a great prospect chain. But right now they don't have that. They've got a bunch of solid prospects. They don't have one of those elite guys. They're going to draft one tomorrow night. But again, it's like you get one throw at that dartboard, unlike the Edmonton Oilers, who got seven shots picking number one before they finally got McDavid. I agree. I have no interest in the middle. I think they'd rather be in the middle than at the end, and I don't like that. I'd rather be terrible. I would rather be awful than be, well, we might make it. We're 2 points shy of the playoffs, and oh, well, you know, I'd rather suck. And those are not fun interviews to do every week when the team absolutely sucks. They are not fun. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. We'll hit on some of your phones. We'll continue along. Stoneman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Of the teams that have multiple first-round draft picks, is there a team that you think is best positioned or likeliest to maneuver those picks in the first round?
I would say all of them would consider it. Like, I don't think you guys are doing anything with your fifth overall pick unless it's, you know, maybe moving up or down one or two spots if the draft unfolds certain ways. But I expect you guys to use that pick to in that area to draft a player. But the Predators also have 23 and 26, right? Like, I could see Barry doing something with that. I can definitely see Pittsburgh doing something with 11-12. I could definitely see Montreal doing something with 16-17 and Philly as well. Like I have to tell you, Adam, we all know who's going one. Schaefer's going one of the Islanders. Most people think Mises going two to San Jose, if not him, Frondell. And then I think you're going to see – I think there's a lot of variance from there, Adam. Like, each team's lists are different. From that point on, like, who do you have at three, and then where are you going from there? So I absolutely do believe, depending on how this unfolds, you are going to see some teams move around.
There you go. That was Elliot Friedman saying, I think you're going to stick at five, but I do think the teams with multiple picks will be looking to make a move one way or another. So on the Noah Dobson front, I asked ChatGPT, what do you think about that, Reed, asking ChatGPT if they should make the move? First of all, let me ask you, would you trade the 26th overall pick in the draft and give Noah Dobson an 8-year, $10 million per year contract?
I'm just, regardless of sports, I'm skeptical of giving someone that long of a contract who does not have that long of a track record of doing what it is that we want him to come in to do. And also, ChatGPT is going to put you out of a job if you keep doing this.
It might put me out of a job anyways, but would you do it?
Based on what Barry Trotz says on, what is it, Tuesday, that he's in it for the 2026 season, then yes.
So I was against doing it, and Neil texted into the text line and said, Dobson scored 70 points in one season, one. He is nowhere near worth $10 million. His career average in terms of points over an 82-game season is 49 points, and his career plus-minus is -3. Now, over 82 games, that averages out to -1. Last year, he was -16. The year before, he was +12. And he was eighth as far as the Norris Trophy was concerned last year. So you're not getting a Norris-winning defenseman. You're not even getting close to that. So here's what ChatGPT said as far as making the Noah Dodson trade. I said, would you trade the 26th pick in the NHL draft to the New York Islanders for Noah Dobson and then give Dobson an 8-year, $80 million contract? Hell yes, ChatGPT says. And here's why. You give up the 26th pick. You get Noah Dobson, a 25-year-old right shot, 70-point, 25-minute-per-night defenseman. Dobson is already what you hope the 26th pick would become, and probably more. 70 points in 79 games in 2024, played top pair minutes, quarterback the power play, and is 6'4", a right-handed shot and entering his prime. ChatGPT says, you're not finding that pick at 26. You're hoping for a second pair defenseman, maybe. It then says that the $10 million AAV is expensive, but fair in the current cap environment, which would be comparable to Miro Heiskanen at $8.45 million, Rasmus Dahlin at $11 million. I've never really thought Rasmus Dahlin's ever done crap since being taken number one. And Adam Fox at $9.5 million. The cap is jumping, so the $10 million will really feel like a current $8 million hit in a couple of years, and you can lock in a core defenseman through his age 32 season, which between 25 and 32 is the perfect window. Also, they say right shot defensemen like Noah Dobson never hit the market. You can't just go sign a Noah Dobson in free agency because teams don't let them go unless they're desperate. And so then when I said, okay, well, what about the average of the 49 points over 82 games for his career? ChatGPT broke that down and says that is he a 70-point D or a 50-point defenseman? He's probably somewhere in between. So he's not the same as Dahlin, Fox, or Heiskanen, but he's better than your average second-pair guy, especially when you add in the 24 minutes per night and the right shot value, plus his ability to be the legit quarterback of the first power play unit. Does it justify $10 million? Dobson at $10 million might feel rich now, but if he sustains 60 to 65 points in 24 minutes a night, it would easily be market value by 2026. The verdict is yes, but $10 million is the top of his range, and if that is if you think that the 2023-2024 Noah Dobson is his new norm, then you pull the trigger. So, here's the one reason that I think I might do it. The real thing that puts me over the top. You're committed to Brady Shea. Let's just call it what it is. Brady Shea sucked ass last season. I mean, he sucked. He was awful for probably three-fourths of the year. And then I don't know if he was less awful over the last quarter of the year or if this was just I had to watch Justin Barron play every night, so he looked better by comparison. But Brady Shea was freaking cheeks last season. Of all the disappointing things about the Predators, to me, Brady Shea was the most disappointing because when Brady Shea was in Carolina and they played the Hurricanes in that playoff series, Brady Shea was tough. I mean, he was nails. Again, in Carolina, Brady Shea, for his entire career, was plus 46. Last year, he was minus 24. He was awful. Well, he's a left shot. Noah Dobson's a right shot. And then there's Yossi. Yossi got diagnosed with this POTS diagnosis, which sounds pretty serious. Now, the Predators have said, hey, Katie Ledecky has POTS, and she's found a way to overcome it. And Yossi said that he's worked with the doctors, and he thinks he'll be okay. But when you're a highly tuned athlete and you stand up off the couch and you can't regulate your heart rate, that's concerning. And so Roman Yossi right now is the quarterback of the first power play unit. And I could see Noah Dobson being the quarterback of the second power play unit. But if Yossi is not the same and Yossi is not getting any younger, the reality is, you could eventually, if this POTS diagnosis is serious, you could put Roman Yossi on long-term injured reserve, and then you're freeing up his $9.5 million, which would then essentially equate the $10 million that you'd be giving up for Noah Dobson. And I view Brady Shea, who you're stuck with for the next 6 years, I view Brady Shea at 31 years old as a guy who probably plays with Noah Dobson on the technical second pair, because you would never say Roman Yossi's not in the first pair, but really your top pair, because they're going to be your penalty killers. So I get that. And Tanner Mullendijk projects to be the top young defensive prospect this team has. He's a left shot. So by the time Yossi's out or the time Shea is no longer in his prime, in theory, Mullendijk would be in his prime. Mullendijk plays the left side. Dobson, 30 years old, 31 years old. He plays the right side. Now, I don't know anything about the guy. And Noah Dobson, the guy, might be the most important part. But surely Barry Trotz knows. Because he's with the Islanders. So Yossi, approaching 35 years old, he doesn't have that much time left anyways. So I'm really swapping out Yossi's contract for Dobson's contract, especially if I end up putting Yossi on long-term injured reserve, which would happen if this POTS diagnosis is as serious as it sounds and is not as simple as, well, Katie Ledecky, she has overcome it. I think I'd do it. I think ChatGPT has convinced me to sign Noah Dobson or to make the trade for Noah Dobson. Now, is that what the cost would be? Because Elliott said, you know, if you want to trade for him, it'll be a haul. Is 26 enough? Or is it going to be 26 and they want something in return? Because if they want something in return, I'll give them something in return. I'll give them Luke Evangelista, who is an RFA, who I'm going to have to pay out of that $14 million in cap space I have anyways. You know, I'm going to have to give up a contract here or there in order to make the money work if I've got $14 million in cap space and I'm taking on a $10 million hit and probably going to have to make another deal anyway. So I might as well include somebody in this deal going back to the Islanders. And Evangelista as an RFA would at least, I think, maybe make a little bit of sense. So I got to tell you, I think I've convinced myself into Noah Dobson, thanks to ChatGPT. Matthew from Jolton says they got rid of the LTIR loophole today. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. What? This is the first I'm hearing of this. So according to Frank Saravalli, there is this is from the Bleacher Report account that covers the NHL. According to Frank Saravalli, there is some potentially huge changes coming in the next CBA, which would be announced tomorrow. There would be an 84-game regular season, no player dress codes. You know, I always think it's stupid that the players have to show up in a suit. If you want to wear a suit, wear a suit. I just don't want players looking like a-holes when they walk into the building. That's all I ask for, but apparently no player dress code. Max six-year deals for free agents, 7 years for re-signing, so goodbye eight-year deals. A playoff salary cap mechanism, which would close the LTIR loophole. So that is, I guess, a proposal. Well, no. They say, Frank Saravalli says, the NHL and the PA are preparing to announce a framework of a new CBA. Okay. Well, I think that's pretty important. As I'm reading through kind of the breakdown here, let me get to the LTIR part. This is very interesting. Teams will no longer be able to mandate player dress code for arriving and departing games. Interesting. Revenue split, don't care about that. Backup goalies, don't care about that. Okay, a comprehensive playoff salary cap mechanism which has many machinations to account for player acquisition, which will effectively close the LTIR loophole for teams to significantly pad payroll using injury release space. So I don't think that this would close the LTIR loophole. I think what this would mean is, like, if Yossi's situation is serious enough, then Yossi would go on LTIR and not be able to play in the playoffs, but I'd get his money back. I'm for it. Plus, apparently, the next CBA would not go into effect until 2027. I'm for it. Noah, that's what Robbie Stanley just texted me. Noah Dobson for 26. And again, I got to give something back in return. Evangelista right now. I mean, I'd like to give Evangelista another crack at it, but I wouldn't be totally against that. But ChatGPT has convinced me. Noah Dobson. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. We'll hit more phones. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game. If you had to pick your priority being there versus getting this team better so that they can make the playoffs, which one would it be?
I can say I started, this hasn't changed. We talked about a blend, and it has a little bit of both in it. There's no question. There's no, when you say a defined lane, one or the other, it's the blend. And I'm telling you, it's the blend of the young kids, which are going to be the future, and the current players that are here now. And we've got good players. You can't tell me that we got Saros and you got Yossi and all the players that we have that we shouldn't be better than we are. We are. I just know we are. We've got a lot of guys that have a lot of pride, a lot of guys that got a little chip on their shoulder. I feel we're going to be a better hockey team, but they're going to also need the young guys. It's just part of it's reality of this group. As you get closer to the trade deadline, for instance, you know where your team is. And if we have a chance to do something in the playoffs, I'm going to help this hockey team. If we don't, same thing as last year, we're going to get collect assets. We're going to move some people. That's just the reality of the business.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz talking about the priorities of the team. Let's go back to your phones as promised. Nate has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Nate, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
So to expand a little more on what you were talking about the new CBA and the LTIR, you can, or I don't know if I haven't looked into it yet, but I know Elliot was talking about on his podcast on Monday where teams can be over the cap after the trade deadline going into the playoffs. But when you ice a team, that those specific players cannot go over the cap. There's a discussion about that.
Okay, sure. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. The way I look at it is if Yossi can't play, and I'm talking about using LTIR in the real spirit of LTIR, not the way that teams have been using LTIR, which I have been told that if the Predators were in position to try to take advantage, thank you, Nate, if the Predators were in position to try to take advantage of LTIR, they would. Now, again, they're going to close the loophole, so what you can't do is you can't just say, oh, yeah, Mark Stone is injured and he can't play. But I'm talking about if Yossi's heart is actually jacked up. And, again, won't we learn this pretty quickly as far as Yossi and the POTS diagnosis is concerned? Again, the Predators are like, well, hey, Katie Ledecky has POTS, but she's still great, and maybe they're right. They're like, the doctors think that he'll be right, ready to go. Maybe they're right. But if Roman Yossi can't continue because of the POTS, then my guess is that his career's over. Well, if his career's over, he still gets his $9.5 million and he just never plays again. Then he goes to LTIR and we take that $9.5 million and we give it to Noah Dobson in the form of $10 million. And then Tanner Mullendyke takes the spot as the left shot defenseman. And now my top pair is Brady Shea and Noah Dobson. Then Lazan and somebody on the second pair. And then Mullendyke will work his way starting on the third pair. And he and Andrew Gibson will eventually work their way up, a la Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Ellis back in the day. One texter says, players need a dress code coming into the games because some of them look terrible. Well, the NHL, they wear suits. I think this is like, hey, this really isn't a big deal to us. Let's just give it to them. Let's just give it to him. That's like pot. You know, years ago when the NFL was negotiating a collective bargaining agreement, they said that, you know what, we'll give you the ability to smoke weed. We're going to stop testing for marijuana. Why? Because the owners don't give a rat's ass if you light up a joint or not. They care about whether or not they get paid for Thursday night football. So we'll let you light up your joints and we'll give you off-season practice, but we don't really care about that because we want to play Thursday night football and we want to go to 18 games. And that's what's going to happen here, is the NHL is going to get what they want, and now guys can wear T-shirts to the rink, which, I mean, not to sound like some old get-off-my-lawn guy, but do you really care what these guys wear to the rink? Do you really care? Because I'm not sure I care. One texter into the text line says, I think I'd have to ask for a 2-year bridge deal to make sure that it works in Nashville with Dobson. Maybe 7 million times 2. Jeff, I'm not sure that's going to work. Adam Vingan tells me that he thinks that it would take the number 5 overall pick to acquire Noah Dobson. If that's the case, no thank you. If that's the case, then let's go talk about Rasmus Anderson, or let's go sign Cody Ceci, or let's, again, I don't want to say stick Justin Barron out there, but I'm not giving up the number 5 overall pick for a right shot defenseman. Sorry, not happening. Number 5 for a right shot defenseman. I mean, you better give me a lot more than that. Like, you better give me your unprotected first next year. You better give me your second rounder this year. I'm still going to need a lot more than that. One texter says, I like your plan, but if Yossi does play and you give Dobson $10 million and now you have 19 and a half locked up into those two and not much more to address the second line center, Dobson would be a good get, though. Well, again, you've also got to factor in the Brady Shea money, but Yossi, I think, is signed for like 3 more years. And as Willie always tells us, the cap is going up. 615-737-1025. We're pretty much wall-to-wall hockey today, although Chad Withrow will join us at 5 today instead of tomorrow, because tomorrow we will be wall-to-wall hockey with the draft coming up. Football breather. So there is a story that Mike Florio wants people to care about. It is one of the biggest indictments of NFL ownership out there. And I'm just not sure that it meets the Jared Stillman level of big deal. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game. And let's clear out the phones and let's, open the board back up. 615-737-1025. Join Robbie and Joe as they broadcast live at the Duncan Grand reopening in Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard tomorrow, starting at 8 a.m. The first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days. Plus, 102.5 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming concert.